And it's 19 minutes past seven. The Green Party's spokesperson for drug reform is Chloe Swarbrick. She's with us. Ata Marie.
Morena.
Haven't we seen from alcohol, from tobacco, that regulation doesn't necessarily reduce harm?
Well, what we have seen from legalisation and regulation of alcohol compared to the prohibition market is that there was a massive reduction in gang control associated violence and a raft of other harms associated to that. So actually, if you look at alcohol under a legal regulated market versus where it was under prohibition in jurisdictions that did create a prohibition, then we have a far better model under legalisation. But yes, I agree with you that we have not got the perfect balance in terms of harm reduction, and that's simply because we've replaced the black market with massive corporate control. And we're learning from that mistake and not going to do the same thing when it comes to cannabis.
So on cannabis then, why the 20-year-old age limit?
So that's about finding a balance that is practical. What we do know is that any substance, whether it's alcohol or cannabis or any other form of substance, can have an impact on a developing brain up to the age of 25. But at the end of the day, we have to recognise that most New Zealanders are coming into contact with and consuming illicit cannabis by the age of 17 years old, usually becoming exposed to it in high school. So we are saying that we want to displace the black market here, and we want to ensure that we get that balance between personal responsibility, autonomy, enforceability, but also obviously protecting the health of our society.
Well, some of the comments that Paula Bennett made that you probably heard in that piece just a few moments ago, where do you tax the product to get the black market to go away? Is it 40%, 50%?
Well, that's one of the many things Paula Bennett's been saying about this issue, which seemed rather confused, which is why I've been inviting her for well over a year now to engage in the cross-party work that we've been undertaking to answer some of these questions and actually to work with me and the feedback that the Greens gave in working towards fulfilling this confidence and supply agreement between the Greens and Labour.
Sure, but where do you see the tax level having to be, though?
Yeah, so on the tax question in particular, this is a matter of first principles. And ultimately, if we're looking to displace the black market, then we need to ensure that we have a product that is priced to be able to do so. But also, if you look at places like Canada, one of the major things that consumers are taking into account isn't the cost of the product, it's the quality of the product. On the question of taxation as well, I am concerned about proposals to simply just ring-fence all of the taxation and pummel that directly into harm reduction. Absolutely. I think that we need far more investment in harm reduction and mental health and addiction treatments, but I'm concerned about that direct correlation, which creates a perverse incentive, meaning that perhaps some of these mental health and addiction services may need to see more cannabis sold, therefore potentially contributing to greater social harm in order to fund their services. So we need to make sure there isn't that erosion.
The difficulty, though, is that the Christchurch Health and Development Study, it started in 1977 with over 1,000 participants. It's a longitudinal study. It shows that cannabis use is associated with educational delay, welfare dependence, increased risks of psychotic symptoms, major depression, increased risk of motor vehicle accidents, tobacco use and other illicit drug use, and respiratory impairment. Where's the good bit in legalisation?
Yeah, I hear you on that, Susie, and I've read that study along with a number of others. And one thing that we have to be very careful of in reading data like that is that you're talking about association. So correlation does not imply causation. I absolutely hear you and agree, and obviously have seen the evidence that there is an association with some of those really dire social statistics and the use of cannabis. There is no good bits in there. But what we also can do, looking at some of the other research which complements that data, is say that perhaps some of these people are using cannabis as a way of self-medicating. Perhaps it is something that occurs and that people are using kind of like...
But if you make it easy to buy in a shop, people will still be able to do exactly that, and 20-year-olds will be able to buy it for their younger friends to use in private homes.
Well, the thing is, we're not going to be making it easy to buy. What we're actually seeking to do here is displace the black market and actually reduce that accessibility and ensure that where there is that point of sale and supply, that there's an opportunity to intervene in problematic usage. This is exactly the kind of responsibility that we see falling upon bartenders, for example, and it's exactly the kind of opportunity that we could see when we're actually collecting the data and aware who is consuming this stuff, take it out of the shadows and put it into the light.
Just briefly, how do you see this impacting perhaps with the road toll? How are the police going to be able to tell if people are impaired or not to drive?
So there are some really promising pieces of technology, particularly around saliva testing when it comes to investigating how much particularly THC people have in their system. But one of the big problems that we have is that it can't just be about the presence of that substance, it has to be about impairment. And this is where it has to actually come back to greater investment in the enforcement of our road rules and actually ensuring that we have that police presence. Because one of the best kinds of tests that we have for impairment is the classic roadside impairment test, where a cop gets somebody out of their car and asks them to walk in a straight line, touch their nose, all of that kind of stuff. And that kind of thing, that kind of testing applies and is the best course of testing, whether it's alcohol, cannabis or any other substance.
If it was legal, would you use it?
That's not my intention, and that's absolutely not why I'm advocating for legalisation. I personally have seen the harms of cannabis and a number of other drugs in my community.
Appreciate your time this morning. That's Chloe Swarbrick, the Green Party spokesperson for drug reform.